as I was saying when I talked about all the shrines and everything that we've been through, isn't it amazing that God chooses an altar to be made of earth or uncut stone, and we want to elaborate it with gold? He chooses a humble cave in which to reveal the book of Revelation, and we have to go and decorate the cave. Our Lord loves simplicity and humility. And so we're going to celebrate this in a very simple, very humble way. It was our Lord who chose these emblems, simple emblems that depict the sacrifice that He made in our behalf and give us an opportunity to reflect on who He is and what He's done for us. So the basic format is I'm going to read a portion of Scripture from Matthew 26 that just gives us an overview. Maggie is going to, and I think Jonathan's going to help her, going to lead us in three songs. And then Jamie and I are going to come forward with Corey and Stephen, and we're going to pass the elements, and we'll take the elements together. And then I think at the end of that, Maggie has one last song we're going to do. At the end of that, I've asked Scott to come forward and just kind of summarize everything and offer up a final prayer. So, very simple. I hope that it will be very moving and very significant for each one of us. And I know it will if we invest in it. Like most things in life, we get out of it what we put into it. I'm going to have to step somewhere where I have light. So if you will, this is good right here. Open your Bible to Matthew 26. As soon as you're there, we'll begin with a prayer, a reading, and then our singing. Matthew 26. Join me at the throne of grace as we open in prayer. As a matter of fact, Joe Robinson, would you like to just open in prayer for us, please?
Father, we thank you for this time together over these past few days, this friendship and this fellowship that we've come to love. It's only by your grace, Father, that you provide that. Thank you, Lord, for all these people who you've gathered from eternity past. You've seen this day. You've seen us from eternity past. You give us a direction today to carry on with the rest of our life. We thank you for that. Thank you for Gene and his stewardship and pastoring us and teaching us. And we'll always forever be thankful for that. And Father, as you lift up the elements tonight, knowing that you had to be physically beaten and spiritually taken down in order for us to be saved. For you so loved the world that you gave his only son. We thank you for that. And forever we'll be thanking you. For it's in his name we pray.
Amen. Okay, if you would follow along with me in Matthew 26, beginning in verse 26. Talking about Jesus and the disciples at the Last Supper. While they were eating, Jesus took some bread, and after a blessing, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for forgiveness of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." And after singing a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. We're going to change things around a little bit. We're going to sing before we take and then after as well. But I think this illustrates how simple this ceremony is. Jesus didn't give a lot of explanation. He just gave the focal point. The focal point is his body and his blood. How much does that mean to us? It depends on how much we know about it. If we focus on what he gave us to focus on, I think it'll have great meaning. Think of how many things you can think of that relate to his body. How many things can you relate or think of that relate to his blood? What are the benefits of what these elements represent? So I'm going to turn it over to Jonathan and Maggie and let them lead us in a few songs.
And in the back of the bus, we've had some wonderful singers, and I would like them to join me up here, and I'll give some names if I don't get any responses, but I really would appreciate it if especially young people, maybe Chris and Jim Fan might come up, and Nye and Steve, and are you up for a song too?
Sure.
So it will be relaxed and kind of impromptu. Anybody else? We try to pick a balance of songs between, I told one person, when our older generation have the capacity to appreciate some of the newer music, and we would like to have our young upcoming people have the capacity to appreciate our tried and true songs. So try to make some of those up.
Okay, no worries.
Which one?
Which one are we singing?
Page 13.
13?
Page 13. Is that right, Maggie?
That is correct.
Page 13.
And Joe, are you up to joining us? Jesus Messiah.
He's been inside. No, I shouldn't. Sorry. Sorry. He became sin. You know sin. We might become his righteousness. He humbled himself. Carried the
you for sin.
next one is How Deep the Father's Love For Us.
7 Thank you. Here, take it. Yes.
Two at the end?
We'll do two at the end.
Okay. If Jamie will join me and Corey and Stephen. By the way, I understand these are a gift from Monty to everyone. So these little cups came from Jerusalem. These are made from olive wood in a factory there in Jerusalem. So when you finish, keep your cup. That's kind of a little gift for you. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, most of us are aware the Corinthians were a pretty rebellious group, pretty disobedient, very carnal, very self-centered. And all the way through 1 Corinthians, I'm glad that they were what they were simply because it gave us the opportunity for Paul to pour out his own heart in trying to bring correction and significance into their lives. And so here, he talks about the communion supper and he begins by talking about how they had abused it. He talks about the fact that when they came together, and if you're not familiar in the early church, they would actually have a love feast. They would come together on Sunday, first day of the week. They would have a feast together. And then at the end of the feast, they would celebrate the communion. But what happened in Corinth is that they had perverted it to where it had turned into, for the rich, a family picnic. They would come bringing all kinds of rich delicacies, and they would share it among their family. And the poor people would come who had nothing to bring, and they sat there hungry. And there was a complete division in the group. So Paul rebukes them, and then he leads them to an understanding of a right celebration of the Lord's table. And we're just going to focus on that, as I said at the beginning, very short, very sweet, and very simple. So, Jamie, have you got the text there in 1 Corinthians 11? Jamie is going to read for us the portion in verse 23 and 24, where he talks about the bread. We're going to then have these two gentlemen pass the bread to you. Please hold it until everyone's been served. We'll come back together. We'll pray over that element, and we'll take the bread together. Amen.
For I received from the Lord, which I also delivered to you. The Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
Feel free to expound on that a bit if you want to explain a little.
I don't know how many people are from an agricultural background, but I think most of us recognise the bread that we have before us took a great deal of work to get here. From the growing, from the sowing, to the growing, to the harvesting, to the milling, to the baking of the bread, transporting it here. All a whole lot of work, and we just benefit from it. A simple gift here tonight, and that's pictures grace, what Jesus Christ has done for us. He did all the work. And we know that on the cross, he sowed his life. And in death, we benefit from that in gaining new life. And this picture of eating is just a simple symbol of our faith that we've expressed in Jesus Christ and continue to express in day-to-day communion with him. So, as we take that bread that's sent on the graciousness of our Lord Jesus, enabling us to have communion with him and one another this evening.
Okay. Gentlemen, if you would just press. As you hold the bread, just reflect on what Jamie said and reflect on what the humanity of Christ means. I always like to picture that I'm holding in my hand his face. Now, John says, we saw him, our hands handled him. Think about putting your hand on his shoulder, or him putting his hand on your shoulder. taking a hold of your arm and pulling you aside to talk with you. Just think about his humanity. An offer of thanks for this bread.
Lord Jesus, we give thanks for your broken body, and we remember it this evening. This is a really timely event to be participating in after following your Apostle Paul through the various places where he went and proclaimed the message of your broken body and your spilled blood for the forgiveness of sins. And so tonight we solemnly remember the cost of our salvation and the price of our sin, and we acknowledge that it was our sin that held you there. And yet at the same time, we claim along with Paul, thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Let's take the bread together as a symbol of our unity in our faith. Continuing on, we have our Lord talking about the cup. Verse 25, it says, in the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Keep in mind what the new covenant means. The new covenant is summarized in Hebrews 10:17, where the author says, their sins and their iniquities I'll remember no more. The cross dealt the final blow to the issue of sin. Their sins and iniquities I'll remember no more. Because of the cross, the ultimate issue of life is, have you trusted Christ or have you rejected Christ? And then Paul goes on to say, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. We're looking back to the finished work. We're looking at the relevance of it to our present daily lives. We're looking forward to his soon return, and folks, it's not far. Christ is coming again, and he's coming soon. Let's make sure that we're living in anticipation and readiness for that. We'll now ask that these men pass the cup to you. What's that one? It's doesn't look very stable there.
Here.
Hey, Nan, would you take that?
Sure.
Some guy that was doing the turning on that one didn't do a very good job.
That's great.
Once again, reflect on the meaning of the blood of Christ. What is it? It's the laying down of his life in our place and the taking of our sins so that he could provide us as a free gift his righteousness for the simple act of faith in him. We hold in our hands the cup represents the sacrifice of Christ in our place. Stephen, would you offer prayer for that?
Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to once again remember the price that was paid on Calvary for our sins, washing away the handwriting of requirements against us, and knowing that by your blood we receive the remission of our sins. Lord, and we know that your word says that it was the joy that was set before Christ that he endured the cross. It is the body of the believers accepting the forgiveness. So we pray, Father, as we partake in this cup, that we remember the Lord's death until he comes. Maybe the next time that we take this one, we'll be in your presence. Mm-hmm. So I'm saying we pray.
I'd like to offer the cup of the toast to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Savior who sacrificed himself in our place, and who is soon coming again as Lord and Victor forever and ever.
To the King. King.
And now, Scott, if you'll come forward and just wrap it up with any thought you may have. Sorry, we're going to sing at the end.
Yeah.
Scott, go ahead and come up.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. It's okay.
No.
Yeah, just impromptu.
Good.
Thanks, Pastor Gene. Appreciate it very much.
It's very dark right here.
That's quite an echo. I just want to say, first of all, thanks to Ken and Sharon for putting this all together. I know this was a ton of work, and it was a great experience for us to come along and see a lot of these things with our own eyes. And I want to thank Pastor Gene for his faithful teaching and studying. And personally, I've really started listening to him more in the last 6 months, and a lot of things have really changed my life in certain ways, so I appreciate it very much. If you want to turn to a verse, I just want to share with you a verse that has kind of impacted me on this trip, and that is 1 Peter 3, verse 15, which I've heard many times, but something jumped out at me that Gene brought up on this trip. You know, as we go around, and we hope that what we saw this week will impact us, and we apply these things to our own life and personalize them. You know, just seeing the things we saw and picturing what Paul did in the face of unbelievable adversity that we have no idea of in America, for example. Hopefully we can just kind of dwell on that, I think, and personalize that and make it our own as we go forward and be a witness. But in 1 Peter 3:15, it says, "Sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence." And we are called to always be ready, to be prepared with the Word. And if we keep studying the Word and we study under our pastor that we think God has for us, we will be prepared if we stick with the Word. But the thing that jumped out at me this week was giving an account to those who ask you. And I can be a little overambitious myself and maybe approach someone, maybe when the opportunity isn't there at times. And I think God wants us to be zealous and excited and enthusiastic, but at the same time, He wants us to be patient and wait till someone asks. And as Pastor Gene said this week, unless someone is ready and asks, they're not ready in their soul to hear from you, you know? So it's one thing that hit me, and I hope as we see what Paul did in all these different places and we know so much of his aggressive nature in his ministry, at the same time he teaches us in the Scriptures so much about patience and God's timing. So that's just one thing I want to share with you that I personally took, because there's nothing like it when God sets up the time, right? Mm-hmm. There's nothing like it. And sometimes when you get too excited, I think you got to pray and say, "All right, hold me back, Father. Open this door right now if you want me to speak." And half the time he does, I've found. And that's when it's the best, because you're relaxed and you know it's from him. So I hope we all go forward and be witnesses in these last days that we live in. Let's just close in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for your word and your grace and your truth. We thank you for setting us free, taking care of our sins so that we could be free to go forward and be witnesses without fear, without worrying about punishment, but instead, knowing the great love you've shown for us, we can go out there and be brave and confident and relaxed. So, Father, we just thank you for everything you give us. We thank you for this tremendous trip and opportunity to see these things face to face. We ask that you make the Scriptures come alive in our souls and translate to our day-to-day walk. And we ask all these things in Christ's precious name.